Today is November 24th, 2021. This is episode number 562 of the Apple Context Machine. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I am Brian Chaffin, Chief Turkey, the Mac Observer. Get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast. You can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, you can shoot me a note over at macobserver.com/context machine, and that'll take you straight to our Facebook group. And here's the thing. I'm super thankful for Jeff Gamet, who is here today. Jeff?
Brian, I'm so happy to be here yet again. It's yet great again to get to hang out with you. Everyone, please send help. He has me tied up in the recording studio. And I can't escape. I'm just really happy to be here, Brian. You're the best.
Yeah, shut up or I'll take away your bucket.
Oh, not the bucket.
See, you know, you didn't watch Angel either. You not only stopped watching Buffy, you never watched Angel.
That's true. I have never watched Angel.
Good show. Good show. All right. Let's see. Something else I am thankful for this particular week is Wealthfront, because they're sponsoring this week's episode of the Apple Context Machine. I will tell you more about them later in the show. But, Jeff, you know, it's busy. It's a busy holiday week, right? There's Turk. Are you based in Turkey? What are you doing?
Is that a euphemism?
No.
No. Okay. Then, no, I'm not based in Turkey. I'm going to go spend the Thanksgiving holiday with my parents. And we have a tradition that we started just a few years ago, which is no one should have to grind themselves to the bone for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So we're having our Thanksgiving dinner delivered.
Oh, nice. So someone else is going to grind themselves to the bone.
Right, but it's someone that that is being paid well to do this.
Hopefully.
And yeah, hopefully. And they have the resources to do this on a large scale.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, well, regardless, it's still a busy holiday week. So despite not getting to it, let's get to it.
Okay.
What do you say?
Get to it.
All right.
Sure. So, I mean, as long as we're here.
Charlotte and I talked about this a little bit on Tuesday's Daily Observations, but it's still like stuck in my craw, and I know Jeff wanted to talk about it too. So we're gonna talk some about what I very politely call Adele's beep.
I would just like to point out for all the listeners that this show is really more like therapy, where we talk through our issues.
Oh yeah,
and all of you are voyeurs.
All of you are yes. All right, so here's the thing. Thank you, Ichabod. Here's the thing. Spotify essentially removed the shuffle button as the default option when playing albums. Removed the shuffle button. Did they remove it, or did they simply not make it the default option?
Here's what they did. So shuffle was never a default for albums, as far as I know, but it was a button that was available so you could bring up an album and then shuffle it.
I think it was actually the default option.
Oh, okay.
But I could be wrong. I'm not a Spotify user.
And I haven't used Spotify in a really long time. I'd be kind of surprised if that was the default. But, you know, who am I to say? But what they did was they made the button disappear. And so regardless of whatever the play order was by default before, now it's the actual album order. But if you select a song in a playlist and then choose to shuffle, it will shuffle the album.
Mm. Right. And this was apparently at Adele's urging. She tweeted, okay, I have to say, and I'm iterating something I said on TDO, but I love Adele. I respect her as an artist. I respect her. I respect her work. I'm a fan. I am absolutely and positively a fan of Adele. So none of this is anything about Adele's music and art. And in fact, well, anyway, I'll get to that. So she tweeted out, "This was the only request I had in our ever-changing industry. We don't create albums with so much care and thought into our track listing for no reason. Our art tells a story, and our story should be listened to as we intended. Thank you, Spotify, for listening." And I'm so like just radically opposed to that idea. I don't owe Adele anything if I'm paying for her music. I don't owe. I get to consume her music the way I want. Now, here's the thing: the irony is, I'm all like been out of shape about this, but I do tend to listen to albums in their order because I like to. I actually like to hear it the way the artist did. But I don't do that because I owe it to them.
Which is fair enough. Okay, so I can appreciate Adele's position on this because she crafted this piece of art, an album, and she'd like people to experience it the way she intends. And then that's getting projected out onto all other artists. And so I can appreciate that. At the same time, that's not how this works. If I get an album from an artist and I want to shuffle the album or mix the songs in that album with songs from another album and listen to that, which is not the way the artist intended, that's my business. That's my prerogative. And at the same time, I will never shuffle Tommy. I will never shuffle The Wall or Dark Side of the Moon. To me, that would be sacrilege. But there's no reason why I couldn't if I wanted to.
Yeah, even
the CD players. I'm with you.
Had a shuffle. Some CD players had a shuffle option.
Right.
It's not like shuffling is the, you know, the like the domain and encroachment of digital. Of the digital online streaming world.
Yeah. Sergeant Pepper, another album I would never shuffle.
There are tons. I tend to listen to albums in their order, period. And I'm sure part of that is my age. I did grow up with records. Right? And while you could shuffle a record, it would be, you know, getting up and walking over to the record player and lifting the needle and, you know, and putting it down in a new spot. But to me, there is a social contract between an artist and the fan who pays for that music. Once I pay for it, I get to consume it the way that I want to consume it. I mean, like if I very much resent her attitude. Our story should be listened to as we intended. Ghost man.
That's what concerts are for. If I went to listen to music exactly the way the artist intended, then I can go to the concert that they put on and they're going to present music to me in the way they intend.
There our stories should problem be solved. Listened to as we intended. I'm struggling to keep this family friendly right now. Our stories should be listened to as we intended. No. No. We get to consume it the way we want to. That is so insane. There's so much entitlement in that concept.
What would have been better for a presentation would have been for her to say, "I would appreciate it if people would listen to the album in the way that I intend."
Absolutely. And again, as a person who does that by my very nature, I have great empathy for that. I have empathy for wanting people. Okay, I'm just going to sort of repeat. I'm going to take what you said, and then I'm going to sort of like change the words around a little bit.
Okay.
I have great empathy for an artist who wants us to listen to their album the way they ordered it. But I do not owe that to them. And they do not get to control that. And,
right.
And if they could, I would, if I was a Spotify subscriber, I would stop subscribing to Spotify over this. It's just, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Now, if I were a Spotify user, and granted, when I did use Spotify, I wasn't actually listening to albums. I was just listening to like music collections. So Shuffle was kind of irrelevant for me. But if Shuffle is the default for an album, then that's a Spotify problem. And that was a bad decision on their part. The default should be play in order for albums.
I agree with that.
And then if people want to Shuffle, they can. And honestly, I'd be surprised if that wasn't the case, but not too surprised because we live in weird times. So if that's what, okay, let's assume for a moment that Spotify was shuffling the albums by default. Their response should have been, let's fix that. Let's play albums in order by default. And
right.
That's it. That's the end of your fix right there.
Right. I very much agree with that. And I'm also taken back to the 80s when the music industry, like the machine, was generally speaking trying to produce one, two, or three good songs and then filling albums up with filler. You tell me I got to listen to that crap
good
in order?
Times. Yeah.
I mean, and don't get me wrong. Having been in a band that put out an album, we did agonize over the order of the album. And I have
listened to your album many times and I have never shuffled it, just so you know.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. It's the way it should be. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, Adele.
But it's my music. No, I have no doubt. I mean, Adele, who is so much more of an accomplished musician than I've ever been, and who has probably, you know, agonized over the albums that I know how it feels to me that her music is very, very personal and like in it that it always has been. And I have no doubt that she has in fact agonized over the order of her own albums, you know, either her or her and her team or, you know, both.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's too bad. Enjoy your money.
The other side of this, look at all the publicity that Adele and Spotify are getting out of this.
Yeah.
I mean, not like either really needed more publicity, but there's no way they could buy all the publicity they're getting out of this movie.
That's true. Yeah, we certainly wouldn't be talking. I doubt we would be talking about Adele, and we seldom talk about Spotify on this show.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that's on us. Maybe we should be having Adele discussions more often because she is crazy talented.
Yes.
I say we as if I'm on the show every single week, only the past few.
Yes, it is on me. So, you know, it is Apple has always been to me the more artist friendly of the major streaming services and the major music stores. And I could be wrong. I could be projecting, you know, I could be projecting some undeserved thoughts from back in the day, but I mean, I always felt like that Apple, that one reason that Apple did iTunes was to save the music industry. And I always felt like Apple was aiming a lot of what they were doing at artists. And I feel like that probably came from Steve Jobs, right? It stemmed from the fact that Steve Jobs was a huge music fan. Mm-hmm. And if artists are asking for this, by the way, one of the things that Spotify said is that their customers were clamoring for this. And I refuse to believe that customers were clamoring for the option to be removed. They might well have been clamoring for it to not be the default.
And yeah, this whole thing about it being the default, I'm having a really hard time accepting it. But then again, there's so many crazy things in the world that I'm having a really hard time accepting. This can just go on the pile. But yeah, I mean, if Spotify was by default shuffling albums, that would probably be enough to get me to abandon their platform, because that would drive me crazy if I'm listening to an album and I have to intentionally stop it shuffling every time I want to listen to it.
Yeah, for sure. But it's if artists besides Adele are wanting this, it kind of like wanting that shuffle button to go away. I wonder what Apple would do. I mean, I'm sure that they have gotten, like, the stories about Spotify doing this were probably not the first time that Apple was aware of this being an issue.
It probably.
So yeah. I wonder if they'll follow suit.
I don't think they will. And the reason I don't think they will is because they have never shuffled albums by default.
Yeah.
And therefore, they've never had a problem. And you know, Apple Music, Apple in specific, Apple has done so much to build a healthy streaming music market, or at least an alive one, because they really changed so much about this market. And I really think that without Apple jumping into the music space the way they did, that what we'd have today would be very different and we would not be pleased with it on any level. Now Spotify, on the other hand, you know, of course they were there first and they were doing their thing. I think they've benefited greatly from what Apple has done. Now it's time for Apple to start stealing from Spotify. For example, on Spotify, you can do a thing where you have a song and then have it build out all these playlists and stuff for you from that. And you can combine playlists and have them build on themselves. You can mix playlists with friends. There's so much more that Apple could let us do with our music that would improve discoverability and just make the overall experience better if they would only just steal the good stuff from Spotify. Okay, I'm off my soapbox now.
No, you're right, and it doesn't feel. Does it feel like Apple Music has been much of a priority since Apple TV Plus came out? Again, could be utterly wrong. I'm not seeing that. That's not based on like some insider behind the scenes look at what's going on in Apple or anything. But we haven't. There's been, a couple of Apple One. Is that what it's called? The radio station?
Apple One.
Yeah. Yeah, or thanks.
Music One. Whatever. Music One.
Whichever.
I can't remember
the
now.
The one thing that they're doing. There's been a couple of announcements there. There's been a couple of events there. But they haven't really been unveiling any, major new features. And it feels like it's not currently much of a priority at Apple.
First, it's Music One.
Music One.
Yes, I actually launched the music app just to make sure.
Thank you.
I disagree with you, but I'm disagreeing with you only because I haven't seen any changes really in Apple Music for a long time. So I think Apple Music has just been kind of on this autopilot thing leading up to Apple TV Plus, and it's just continued as it was before Apple TV Plus without any real changes.
So how is that disagreeing with me? Isn't that just what I just said?
No, well, you added in the extra bit that this started since Apple or Apple TV Plus. And I maintain that this has been how it's been just for a long time.
Oh, I see.
So we both agree that Apple Music needs some love, I think.
Yeah, probably. I think so. It's interesting to me that Apple Music is still more expensive than Apple TV Plus. That's still a very interesting thing to me.
I suppose you could say because there's more content, but yeah, that is weird. You're right.
All right. Not weird, though. I have something that's not weird.
I am so excited to hear about the not weird thing. Well, you have no idea.
It's going
to
be Wealthfront. Wealthfront is sponsoring this week's episode. You know, a lot of investment apps make it easy to start trading, but just because it's easy to do doesn't mean that you know what you're doing. I am a big proponent of investing your money. I am a big proponent in getting started in investing as early and as soon as you can. And when you're young, the sooner you get started is way better than never getting started. And this is so incredibly important to me. I often sing this song to friends, acquaintance, people I know. It's super important to me. But the reality is a lot of us don't know what we're doing, and that's what makes Wealthfront different. They make it easy to invest, and they make it easy to get smarter about investing. You can start with Wealthfront's classic portfolio or make it your own with socially responsible funds, crypto trusts, and hundreds of other investments. Either way, they'll set you up in minutes with a portfolio that you can count on for the long term. Wealthfront was designed by financial experts to help you turn your good ideas into great investments without the hassle of doing everything yourself. You're protected from unnecessary risk because your portfolio is diversified across asset classes. Don't want to spend hundreds of hours trying to lower your tax bill? They help you do that. Not sure how to rebalance your portfolio or even what rebalancing is? They'll do it automatically. Wealthfront is trusted with over $27 billion in assets, helping nearly 500,000 people build their wealth. And you can get your first $5,000 managed for free at wealthfront.com/ACM. Again, that's wealthfront.com/ACM. It takes just minutes to start building your wealth. Again, visit wealthfront.com/ACM. That's wealthfront.com/ACM. I want to thank them for sponsoring this week's show. All right, Jeff, our second topic today is NSO. Hold on.
Wow. Okay. So this Hold on. Kind
of perfect timing. Mm-hmm. Boy, my voice was going out throughout that ad spot.
But you did great.
That's kind of you. Let me let the dogs finish. Okay, I got it. Thank you. Good boys and girls. I got it. Good boy. Come here. Get some love. Good boy. That is so good.
Oh, I love the little doggies.
You saved me.
Give them scritches.
Have you seen the meme where so far this week I've saved mom from, like, you know, 17 delivery people, to mailmen, and a sketchy, a suspicious looking plastic bag, and she doesn't seem to appreciate it.
That's awesome. I haven't seen it, but that is awesome.
Super, super appropriate. Okay. Okay, Jeff, let's take a look at our second topic, and that's Apple getting all serious about the NSO group. Did you catch that story?
I did, and I have to say, I didn't see this one coming, but in retrospect, maybe I should have.
I certainly didn't. It didn't even occur to me that... that this is something that Apple could. All right, so let's tell people what they did. Apple basically sued the NSO group. That's a maker of a state sponsored maker of spyware that they sell to multiple states, including some authoritarian regimes, so that those states can spy on dissidents, theoretical criminals, activists, journalists, academics, and sometimes even government officials. And they, you know, basically make a tidy fortune finding, buying, and exploiting zero-day exploits. And Apple is suing. They're trying to get I'm quoting from Andrew's story. Apple seeks a permanent injunction to stop NSO Group from using any Apple software, hardware, and services. The lawsuit also seeks redress for NSO Group's flagrant violations of U.S. federal and state law. Pegasus, which is one of their products, makes use of vulnerabilities found in iPhones to target, again, journalists, activists, dissidents, academics, and government officials. And then Craig Federighi issued a statement saying state-sponsored actors like the NSO group spend millions of dollars on sophisticated surveillance technologies without effective accountability. That needs to change. Apple devices are the most secure consumer hardware on the market, but private companies developing state-sponsored spyware have become even more dangerous. While these cybersecurity threats only impact a very small number of our customers, we take any attack on our users very seriously, and we're constantly working to strengthen the security and privacy protections in iOS to keep all our users safe.
Wow. So Apple climbed on top of that hill, planted their flag, and said, this is the one we will die on if we have to.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that Apple has some money to go after. And the thing is, they are state-sponsored, and they could be state-shielded, right? Wouldn't be hard for you know, multiple world governments that are buying this company's products to give it legal protections from private lawsuits from you know, actors like Apple. So I'm really wondering where this is going to go.
It's, yeah, I'm really curious to see where this goes too, because like you said, NSO Group could potentially be shielded by nation states. And at the same time, Apple has the resources of a nation state in essence, because they have just so much money at their disposal. So Apple could, just grind NSO Group into the ground through litigation. They could. I just can't wait to see how this one plays out. From Apple's perspective, looking at what they've actually done, they needed to do this, and they were going to do this, even though it caught us by surprise. Because part of Apple's thing is telling us how safe and secure our iPhones are. And what NSO Group is doing is completely at odds with that.
That's true. And while that is important to Apple, what chaps my hide about the NSO group is not that it is doing, you know, at odds with Apple's marketing. That's my problem, is that their products are used by sometimes bad guys in bad governments to do bad things to good people. And also, it is to me only a matter of time before some of these things get sold to the criminal world, so that it's not just state actors that are using this, but it becomes criminal organizations that are using these things too, some of these tools. That seems inevitable to me. I guess I don't know that it's inevitable, but it surely seems inevitable.
Has to be inevitable.
And this is just, it's just bad stuff. It's just bad. It's bad.
Have you read Apple's whole statement about this lawsuit?
I have not read the whole statement. Call me out.
Sorry. Wait, I'll fix that. So, Brian, do you remember when you read the whole statement?
Oh, yeah.
That Apple made about this?
Oh, the one that Apple made? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I found it interesting that the document also talks about Android, and Apple talks about this as if this is a serious threat to everyone. And so they're positioning themselves as the ultimate good guy here, because they're not just saying, hey, we need to protect the iPhone. They're saying we need to protect everyone. I just thought that was a very interesting spin.
That is an interesting spin. It's the right spin, in my opinion. I mean, the Apple may be doing it for, you know, callous marketing reasons, but even if they are, it is the right thing to do. Yeah. So here's they have. I guess one of the things that Apple's doing by the way is backing up and supporting Citizen Lab, which is a group, an effort out of the University of Toronto that does security research. So they included a quote from Ron Deibert, who is the director at Citizen Lab. He said that mercenary spyware firms like NSO Group have facilitated some of the world's worst human rights abuses and acts of transnational repression while enriching themselves and their investors. I applaud Apple for holding them accountable, blah, 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 blah. And he's right. That's the thing. It's like, I mean, this is being done for profit. And it is, these tools are being put into the hands of some awful people doing awful things. And that, for profit. It's foul. I hope that Apple is able to make some headway on this. My guess is that it's going to be a game of whack-a-mole at best. That even if they're able to suppress the NSO group, there's going to be, you know, the NSO group will then, you know,
it will rebrand
as
a new company and carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Apple, they really needed to do this. As I'm looking at the whole thing, I'm realizing, oh yeah, they really needed to do this, because the fight to maintain privacy protections is ongoing. And if Apple had stopped after the whole San Bernardino case, and for those of you that don't remember, there was a mass shooting in San Bernardino, California, and the suspects had iPhones, and law enforcement wanted access to encrypted information on those phones that they should have had access to, because they were government-owned phones, and they should have known the passwords to get into them, but they didn't. So they wanted Apple to hack in, and then they wanted Apple to create a version of iOS that allowed them to get into any iPhone. And Apple said, nope, not going to do it. And they dug in their heels and they fought hard. and ultimately didn't have to do that. And we can thank NSO Group for that, I believe.
Yeah,
they ended up hacking into the phones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Apple fought that, and as other cases and situations have come up where government entities are pushing up against Apple and saying, "Hey, you need to give us back doors." Apple needs to continue to say no. And what NSO Group is doing is an extension of that. So yeah, they need to be fighting this as well.
Yeah, they do. They do. So it remains to be seen what's going to come of this lawsuit. It remains to, but I think it's clear that Apple is pretty serious about fighting these guys. And if there is a company that can take them on, it's Apple.
It's Apple, yeah.
They do have the resources.
Can you imagine? They do. Can you imagine if Apple and Microsoft and Google teamed up to fight something like this? At that point, you're looking at a level of resources that we as humans probably can't even comprehend.
Yeah, that is essentially true. Yeah, that's
I would venture to say that combined, those three companies could take on any government. As long as you're not actually like literally going to war, they could take on any country.
Well, any government though always has the ability to pass laws. So no, I don't think they could take on. I really don't think they can take on governments. They can probably take on governments that are subject to the rule of law through a court system. But I don't think I don't think that Apple could go after, Russia or even the Myanmar's government. Mm-hmm. Because Myanmar, just, LOL, you're illegal, go away.
Well, okay. There is that. Nonetheless, they have the resources where, at least academically, they could take on any country.
In a country where that is ruled by the rule of law, in which the government does not simply change the laws to protect whatever it is that Apple is trying to do. Yeah, Apple can probably go toe to toe with. Let's say that Apple could go toe to toe with the government as opposed to like going. I don't know. That's just semantics.
Okay, let's take it to the extreme.
Okay.
Companies like Apple, Google, and Microsoft have the resources to actually form their own black ops teams that can go in and perform acts that are against the law that could also be used to sway how a government acts.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I don't want that either. Oh my God!
No. I mean, I'm not
but interested. They could.
I'm not interested in entering that cyberpunk world of corporations doing things like that.
I don't want that world either.
I am not ready for that. Just take me to the world where the governments actually have, or excuse me, corporations actually have seats in the global Senate. Let's just skip ahead to that part.
Yeah. Why don't we just skip ahead to the whole complete cyber world thing? Plug us in and create fantasy worlds for all of us. Turn us into copper tops.
There we go. Okay. All right. That's super happy.
happy holidays.
I'm really, really thankful for this. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write me at acm at macobserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly, the basis by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And again, I want to thank Wealthfront for sponsoring this week's episode of the Apple Context Machine. And remember to start building your wealth. Get your first $5,000 managed for free for life. Go to wealthfront.com/ACM. That's Wealthfront, WEALTHFRONT.com/ACM to start building your wealth. Jeff, thanks for being here, man. I appreciate it.
It's awesome. And I'm glad that I got to be here for such a happy, uplifting episode.
Yeah, good times, good times. You want to tell us briefly where we can find you?
Sure. How about Jay Gamet on Twitter and Instagram and youtube.com/JayGamet for my videos. Most Tuesday evenings on Mac Voices Live, Thursdays, except this week, on The Big Show, Fridays on The Mac Show. Oh, and all this week, I'm on Mac OS Ken's In a Few Minutes.
Oh, excellent. I love Ken Ray, and I love that show. It's great. He does such a good job with it.
Ken is just awesome.
Yeah, he really is. He really is. And on that note...